All right, we are live for the Thursday edition of The Morning Check-In. And as always, excited to be back, looking forward to connecting with you guys and, you know, sharing with you some things that caught my attention and trying to, I guess, put together the pieces of the puzzle towards understanding this monetary reset or this currency reset or this, you know, foreign exchange reset or whatever's going on in the monetary piping of the system. But anyway, hope everyone's doing well. Welcome to the live stream. Sorry for my tardiness, doing some things on the back end here, trying to scramble and put together some last minute articles that caught my attention. But, you know, welcome to the live stream as always for those who are returning visitors. And if we have any first time viewers, let me know where you're watching from. Would love to acknowledge your presence. And before I dive into today's headlines, of course, we'll start off with some good news, work our way through some of the Main Street or the Wall Street type of topics, and then cover everything down to Main Street directly. So interesting chain of events. And it has to do, in my opinion, with the expectations of the Treasury yields increasing further on top of the current expectations for gold to continue to rise. And it appears that China might be in the center of all of this. And so is it like a quasi Treasury debt slash gold war going on? You know, only time will tell. But based upon the articles I want to share with you and share my two cents on it, definitely. It's something we're paying attention to because we'll be distracted with so many things that the mainstream narrative, you know, mainstream media rather would want us to focus on rather than focusing on where the monetary system is going and all the things behind that. So, all right, good people, welcome. We got Aces of Silver checking in. We got Bougie Prepper checking in. Appreciate you, man. If you guys don't mind, on the way in, hit that thumbs up button, show your support for the channel. And then also, I want to give a special shout out to the RTD community members that, you know, bless the channel monetarily speaking, all the supporters out there, you know who you are. Appreciate your support. Appreciate you. You're backing the channel, man, stepping up to the plate and really being a blessing. So I want to acknowledge those people. You know who you are. So thank you for showing love to the channel. And then also, let me see here. Let me make sure everything is going smoothly. And then we're going to jump right into it, man. Have a good morning. Hope everyone's day is off to a good start. As always, for those who are new, hit that thumbs up. As well, make sure you subscribe, whether you're on YouTube or over on Rumble. Make sure you guys plug in so you can stay up to date. And if you are not connected, I want to advise you to make sure you guys check in with RTD on these social media tabs here, especially Telegram, active community over there throughout the day, sharing a lot of interesting articles on all topics. There's no holds bar over there in reference to what people share. And it's all according to what interests them and what they're keeping their eye on. So join that. Social media tabs down below. You guys can stay plugged in. All right. I don't want to be long. I want to just get straight to the nitty gritty, share with you what I'm keeping my eye on, share my thoughts on it, and of course, get yours. Towards the end, we'll try to get a little Q&A in and go from there. But let me just check in, make sure everything is flowing smoothly. Then we'll jump right into it, man. Interesting morning to say the least. Carlos, how you doing, man? Appreciate you. Okay. Let's jump into the good news. Oh, right. So today is April 18th, sowing and reaping. How timely. How timely. Appreciate you guys, man. Here is a good word that I want to bring to you. 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And so just a good word today is you will make many choices today, but as you make decisions, please remember that you'll reap what you sow. You will harvest that which you've planted in the past, and the choices you make today will influence what you reap in the future. With this principle in mind, consider, what would you like to accomplish with your life? Are you seeking to fulfill the purpose for which God created you? If so, then what type of seeds are you planting? Are you sowing behaviors that will deepen your relationship with the Father, such as prayer, Bible study, and fellowship with other believers? Are you being generous with your gifts and talents he's given you? Are you sowing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the 9 fruits of the Spirit, in your relationships with others? Be conscious of the choices you make every day. Each one is a seed that you are planting for your future. Invest bountifully in honoring and obeying God, and he will surely be glad. You'll surely be glad when harvest time comes. And the closing prayer is, Lord, help me invest my life bountifully in ways that honor you. To you be all the honor and glory. Amen. 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 All right. Appreciate you. Appreciate that. Peter hit that. Let's get into it, man. Good morning, man. Exciting morning. Got to, you know, working on some other projects, man, and really got me fired up this morning, man. Yeah, you know, God is good, man. All right, as always, let's get into some of that good stuff here. I want to do a quick shout out for those who may be new to the channel and never know. Got to make sure I plug up opportunities that present themselves. Let me get myself together here. All right, so let's get into it. As you guys know, or you may not know, depending on if you're new to the community or not, I want to make sure that you are aware of the opportunity to, I guess, get plugged into the channel here and really begin further educating yourself on what I consider monetary literacy. So on the page here, as you can see, we have the Dollar IQ quiz. 10 quick questions make a world of difference. As of right now, the national average is 60%. And it's 10 simple questions that basically helps expose that little information gap that most of us have or had due to the fact that we weren't taught a lot of this stuff in school. And so it's basically a way that you get plugged in. And beneath this video here, I got the three monetary steps to monetary savviness that I put together. Starts off with the quiz. So simply rethinkingthedollar.com/quiz. Take the quiz, see where you stand. If you find value in it, share it so others can plug in and then follow the steps accordingly. And you'll be better off than the other 99.99% of society who has no clue as to what's happening. And we're going to get into more of that today. So plug in there if you guys are interested. And then lastly here, I want to make sure you guys are aware of the opportunity to take a hold of what is rightfully yours out of the legacy system. And so it starts with colonialsmetalsgroup.com/RTD. I'm excited to partner with them to bring you an opportunity to speak with the professionals, people who know what they're doing on how to take possession of yours, put it into a self-directed IRA, holding gold and silver, as well as other assets that you can put into your IRA. And so if you're interested, links in the description, fill out the form. You'll get contacted by one of the experts there. They'll give you the whole rundown and find out if it's something for you or not. Links in the description. Feel free to check it out. Just provides more information into the Colonials Metals Group company here. And you can see some testimonials as well as find out more about Colonials Metals Group. And for those who qualify, they have an opportunity for you to get a free vault as well as a nice amount of silver. So check them out, colonialsmetalsgroup.com/RTD. Links in the description, or you can give them a call at 888-521-2448. And you'll find out more and see if it's, you know, as if it's of a fit you or not. So, all right, let's get that done. All right, man. Let's get into it, man. So, as I mentioned today, came across an interesting article from Zero Hedge that really paints a picture as to what's happening that the mainstream media itself is not focusing on. It has to do everything with, you know, the expectation. Even Vanguard today came out saying that they're expecting a 10-year treasury yield to go towards 5%. Because there's some massive dumping behind the scenes. And of course, China has been steadily decreasing their exposure to U.S. liabilities, as I call them. But the people picking up the slack happen to be the very same countries that are part of the G7 nations for the most part, and that are coordinated, you know, like a hand in a glove, head in a fist with the Western agenda. And so are those other forces that are picking up the slack, where China's dropping off, basically keeping this ship afloat? And so I'm going to share with you my two cents. And then, of course, how can you not pay attention to the gold price and the gold activity that's being led by China? So you put together rising gold prices from China. You put together the steadily declining of their reserves. And you factor in the whole Japan mess that's unfolding right now. You know, there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes, and there's a scramble to keep this thing held together. But then again, as I always say, the metals prices determines the outcome. And no matter what, even though in USD terms, we're at all-time highs in gold and far away from silver all-time high. So those two things right there are what I'm most focused on, because I want to be ahead of that before it officially breaks. And I got to reach as many people as I can with this information. So that's why we're plugging in right now. Okay, let's get into it. As always, want to do a little quick run through on some market activity. And so as you can see here, we have gold at, let me just refresh this page, make sure it's up to date. As of right now, we got gold at 2,382. It's in the green right now. Silver also doing its thing, 2,839. And then platinum and palladium is right there along the way. So the four monetary mediums that are the greatest wealth preservation vehicles to buy and hold, put it to the side, sink it on a ship at the bottom of the ocean, come back 10, 20 years, it'll still be there. And of course, whatever it is priced in is going to be a lot higher than what you bought it as. So all right, let's keep it moving. So I want to get right into the news articles, man. I don't want to waste any time. Here's the headline here. Is China's dumping driving U.S. Treasury yields higher? So these graphs here lay out a good case in the fact that seems to be what's really going on here. And so, as much as the mainstream narrative, as well as a lot of the, you know, macro economists slash, you know, people who are directly invested in this economy because they're fiduciaries of other people's currency, i.e., hedge funds, managers, money managers, and all the other people who take care of other people's stuff. They have to be somewhat optimistic. So I see a lot of people talking about, oh, there's no threat to the dollar. There's no threat to, you know, U.S. treasuries are still pristine capital. I'm like, does China feel that way? Does Russia feel that way? You know, that those are two nations that are leading the forefront in this monetary shift. And I would be more so concerned with their viewpoint on things rather than listen to our mainstream hopium media. But let's get into it. So bear with me here, dealing with some things on the back end as far as the screen. So, but real quick here, it says for the ninth month of the last 11, China's treasury holdings declined in February, dropping by 22.7 billion. Additionally, it has now been 24 of the last 28 months that China's treasury holdings have declined. Now back at practically its lowest since 2009. And that's where we get into this graph right here. So as you can see here, if I can, let me just show myself here. So what I try to do is make this a little bit more visible for you guys. So as you can see on the screen here, you know, just look at this little arc above my head here. And so here we have the current declining of treasury. It was going back to 2009. And so what was happening around 2009 that forced them to get back into the U.S. Treasury accumulation phase? It happened to be the GFC. And so they were the ones that literally extended a lifeline to the U.S. by directly coming in and buying our debt, because we began QE 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to infinity. And so they are the backers of this current bubble phase that we're in. And so it looks like the shoe is on the other foot, to where they are deciding to lead the way out of this current bubble that they actually fueled back in 2009. And so what this tells me is that they were willing participants in the current bubble that we're experiencing, and they are wanting out because of the issues they're having and all types of other things to factor into it. But, you know, they are definitely some key players that worth paying attention to. So it says, while we are accurately aware of the correlation is not causation, one would find it hard to argue at the practicality of perfect consummation. Of China's treasury holdings and the yield of the 10-year treasury note over the past 3 years makes us wonder. So basically what he's getting to here is the same graph right here. So as you can see here, this is what they've been putting together as far as the correlation that they're suspecting to be the reason why treasury yields are rising at the same time China's unloading. So let me zoom in here. So as you can see here, it peaked around 2020. So around 2020 here, that's when we got to the peak of all this accumulation phase, and then as of now it is trending down. So as you can see on the screen here, it is correlated perfectly. So as the treasury yields have continued to go upward, China's treasury holdings has also continued to go downward, to the point where now with this point here where the 10-year treasury yield, if we go all the way to the other side of the screen here, is at around that 4.58 percent there, right on correlation. So causation, correlation, one and the same here in reference to what we're witnessing. So just something that I thought would bring to your attention here. And keeping it moving here, the de-dollarization is still underway. So here's just some more interesting graphs highlighting more of the same thing. And let's factor in how the U.S. has treated Russia over this whole proxy war, and how the potential threat of unfreezing those assets to use for Ukraine has also played into this pivot away from what has been seen as the primary reserve that every nation was forced to hold on to because of our current dollar status. But as you can see here, IMF Russian reserve gold holdings in the yellow and U.S. Treasury security holdings from Russia. So literally Russia has also been dumping because they have been forced to sell those things. And of course, gold has been the primary medium that they have chosen to hold on to instead. So you factor in China dumping and the Shanghai Gold Exchange, basically physical, setting a new spot price, factor in Russia being forced to sell and accumulate gold. Where is all that gold accumulation coming from? It's driven by those two nations. So you must pay attention to those people over there. Okay, here, some more charts here worthwhile. So here we have, it's not just China and Russia. World Treasury holdings are relatively flat based on the Fed's custody data, while according to the IMF, world sovereign nations have been buying gold with hands. Let me move this out the way. with hands and feet. So another visual aid here showing World Treasury Holdings reserve status has been flat. But then again, starting in 2018, 2019, it looks like. Let me tap that and zoom in here so we can get a better look at that. So literally 2019-ish, 2018, 2019, there was a breaking or decoupling rather in Treasury Holdings and gold accumulation. And what happened around September 2019 was that the repo market that started to break, and then they were off to the races. So just something that's worth bringing to your attention. So I keep it moving. I got more articles I want to get to here. But the whole point in highlighting this is that it is clearly correlated. China's dumping and acquiring gold. And at the on the other side of that, we have U.S. debt obligations no longer the preferred medium of capital preservation. Okay, here's another little article here. Let me share this here. Let me get my situation straight here. Bear with me, my good people, trying to head this, trying to lead this to somewhere. So here we have China dumps more U.S. debt as foreign holdings hit record high. So this is a one of those pieces that are, you know, trying to downplay China's dumping because there's other nations stepping in. And this goes into what I was talking about earlier as to how, you know, even though it says Japan is still the largest holder, while Belgium was a top buyer in February. So we have the same nations that are in lock and step with the Western agenda stepping in to pick up the slack. So real quickly here, foreign holdings of U.S. debt rose to all-time high in February, representing a fifth consecutive month in increase of new Treasury Department data revealed on April 14th. It says in total, foreign holdings were $7.96 trillion, up from $7.945 in January. And so who are the, Belgium was the most, was the top market to expand its holdings. So Belgium is buying. It says picking up $27 billion and raising the total to $320 billion. Japan continued to be the largest holder. Says France bought $16 billion, Canada purchased $14 billion, and the United Kingdom purchased $9 billion. China dumped $23, reducing its holdings to 14-year low. It says this is also down close to 9% year over year. So once again, France, Canada, UK, and and Belgium. So four nations stepped in as the primary buyers at the same time China dumped. So roughly the equivalent of what China dumped, those nations stepped in to try to pick up the slack, to try to make it look like there's still a high demand for U.S. Liabilities. But then again, you know, so apparently those auctions that are going on right now aren't necessarily doing too well. So once again, the scramble is try to get more buyers to keep subsidizing our government's deficit. But we'll find out how that goes. Okay, keeping it moving here. More stories I want to touch on. Let me just get rid of some things here, and I'll try to have all this line up. So, you know, I think the next catalyst to really send gold through the roof will ultimately come down to things like this. So here we have Yellen says it's important to unlock value of Russian assets to aid Ukraine. And so as of right now, there's not much U.S. support to continue to send these astronomical aid packages to Ukraine. And so, as I mentioned from the last episode, Zelensky's starting to threaten Western forces, aka the U.S., that if they don't get continuous aid, they're going to deliberately bomb Russia's oil facilities, therefore sending gas prices higher, and that will ultimately cripple our economy, as I mentioned that on Monday. But they will eventually unlock this Russian assets of $300 billion, and Russia's made it clear that they will retaliate. So the question is, how exactly will Russia retaliate? Then we get into speculation. And my opinion is that it will have something to do. And of course, China will eventually back them because they're working hand in hand. But it will have something to do with the dollar, possibly the announcement of something that will send a shockwave through the dollar-centered economy that will really put the U.S. economy on its heels. And I can't really put my mind on how they would do it or what they would do it. But more than likely, it's going to have something to do with some type of gold backing, gold announcement, gold payment platform, something gold related that will even send the prices now that's already all-time highs through the roof and will literally cause some real problems here in our country. But real quick here, The U.S. and its group of seven G7 allies are continuing to explore a range of possibilities to unlock the value of nearly $300 billion in frozen Russian assets to aid Ukraine. Dr. Yellen said that the U.S. and G7 were absolutely committed to Ukraine's support. So they're committed to Ukraine's support, even at the detriment of the debt market, U.S. debt market, which is ultimately our U.S. currency. And she urged Congress to approve urgently needed military and budgetary aid by quoting, "This is a humanitarian and moral imperative and also an economic war, given the war's significant negative impact on the economies around the world." Really? Okay. So what does that mean? It says Russia's frozen assets could provide game-changing $300 billion funding for Ukraine's war against Putin without costing Britain or U.S. a penny. So literally, because the support is not the greatest, $300 billion will only probably last. When this $300 billion is unlocked, it'll be dispersed, and it's primarily being held in Europe. Once it's unlocked, it's going to be gone quick, and it's not going to make its way to actually help Ukraine, because that fund has already been funneled out of there. So literally, that $300 billion will find its way back into the military-industrial complex, as well as a lot of politicians and senators and private interest groups' pockets, and of course, the stock market in some capacity to keep that thing afloat. And the whole Ukraine situation is literally just a proxy war. So it's not a matter of trying to win that, because you can't win that. It's more so prolonging that by any means possible. So how will Russia respond? We don't know. But one thing is for sure, this is from earlier this year. It says Moscow calls the U.S. plan to confiscate Russian assets a 21st century piracy. And so what exactly will go on here? Here are some interesting thoughts that came straight from them. It says the Russian foreign minister called on U.S. plan to confiscate up to $300 billion in Russian assets to rebuild Ukraine piracy, and said theft of state, private, and public property has become a trademark of the Anglo-Saxons. It says Washington, London have been doing it for decades. Before that, it was called piracy, but then it was legalized. Now it is in the piracy of the 21st century, in my opinion. And then let me find that little comment here. Let me see if I can find it. I might have been another article here. Let me see here. Where'd it go? I think it was another article I was reading. But basically, the thought was it will not be tolerated and they will respond harshly. So what does that mean? Not quite sure, but we'll find out. All right, keep it moving. So these are just some stories I want to highlight on in reference to China's correlation with dumping treasuries and the yield spiking, and also the threat of this 300 being released, because it will send gold through the roof. And of course, that will only put pressure on the spot silver market as well. Therefore, there could be a great decoupling in the monetary system once gold goes beyond 25, 26, 2700. And of course, silver breaks 30 and then shoots to 35, there may be 40. And, you know, only we can only imagine. But how will Russia's response impact our economy? It will have everything to do with our debt market, which ultimately is our currency. So, yeah, stuff you won't hear from the mainstream media for sure. Okay, what else we got here? So here's another interesting little take on what is coming. It says Vanguard warns 10-year treasury yields rise, risk spiking past 5%. And so this is what is happening here. So the treasury market is nearing its levels that risk triggering a large sell-off, pushing yields at 10%, 10-year bonds back to whatever. Of course, says we are in a danger zone right now. The head of international rates at Vanguard said in an interview, even a small move higher past a critical 4.75 level could force investors to abandon their bets on a rally, giving way to a wave of selling that push yields towards the highs of 2007. So any type of shock that occurs, any type of event, such as unlocking out $300 billion or some type of Middle East conflict or whatever, could literally send a sell-off that could send yields surging. And Uncle Sam can't respond favorably when, you know, basically that $1 trillion interest payments goes even higher. Not good. Okay, keep it moving. All right, here, a couple more stories here. And when governments get desperate, what happens? They start inventing new ways to siphon funds from the savers of their debt instruments. So this is what's happening in Canada, for those who may not be aware, that is also worth paying attention to, because at some point, You know, we have, what, $30 trillion locked up in, you know, savings in the form of retirement portfolios as well as pensions that eventually Uncle Sam going to have to tap into some capacity. So let's pay attention to what Canada's doing, because more than likely that's a sign at what we can probably expect here. But it says Canada will soak the rich with capital gains tax jump to raise billions for a housing in market where Gen Z can't catch a break. So I'm assuming you guys have seen a lot of the videos of a lot of the younger generation in Canada talking about how unbearable it is to live there. Housing is through the roof. You got the biggest housing bubble along with Australia on the planet. And just the cost of everything to sustain themselves is unbearable. So a lot of people are fleeing. And so if that wasn't good enough, they're literally looking to hike capital gains taxes on those who make above a certain threshold, which will ultimately work its way down to Gen Z and everybody else. So I'll spare you on that. But and then also, Canada's taps ex-BOC governor to examine how pension funds invest. So ultimately, what they're trying to do here is tap into that, I think it's $1 point something trillion of stagnant money sitting around in the pension funds and trying to figure out how to reinvest it back into the Canadian economy about formulating a working group to basically come up with new ways on how to put that those pension funds that's parked into use in helping to revitalize the Canadian economy as well as their housing sector there. So more taxation and using funds that have sitting around dormant. So those are two things that we can learn from, because Canada, our northern neighbors here, operate on the same model that we do here in the U.S. So whatever they do, eventually at some point in the future, we can expect the U.S. to probably do the same. So just something worth bringing to your attention. All right, a couple more stories here, then we'll get to a little Q&A here. Let's tap in real quick as to what's happening with that conflict in the Middle East. So it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, it looks like, for whatever reason, Israel is going to back off on retaliating till after Passover. And they said somewhere around May 1st. So imagine what type of war takes place where you literally are so concerned with the clock that you're not really concerned with attacking those who apparently attacked you. So this whole Israel-Iran situation resembles a lot of what we're witnessing with the Ukraine-Russia, being fed one thing from the mainstream narrative to cause such a media frenzy. But then again, in practicality, it's a calm tit-for-tat, back and forth. You know, you bomb me, I bomb your back, real small. You bomb me, I bomb your back, real small. And so I can't even really say this is a war. This is more so a proxy distraction or something of that nature, designed to distract the world from what's really happening with the monetary system, while giving us the threat that what's really taking place between those two nations are going to be, World War III level confrontation, which it could eventually escalate into that. But at this current moment, with all this time signaling, lets me know that things aren't what they really are on the ground there. So we're being fed a completely different narrative here, basically to pacify and allow the U.S. to kick the can down the line a lot further, in my opinion. So Israel said unlikely to strike Iran before end of Passover. So yeah, just more things worth mentioning. Now let's get into some things happening here on Main Street, man. I thought this was interesting because this is very telling as to what's happening with the commercial real estate, which eventually make its way into residential real estate. But number of vacant NYC storefronts has nearly doubled since the pandemic, creating havoc. So I haven't been to NYC in a minute, but based upon the idea of them being invaded with foreigners and the lack of rule of law there and the fact that people aren't willingly spending as much as they used to, I'd imagine those overpriced stores aren't really getting much foot traffic, and you factor in the theft. I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out, but it says empty retail space in New York has recently nearly doubled since the pandemic, according to data released on Wednesday. Only 6% of the Big Apple storefront sat empty in 2019 compared to 11.2% this year. So 5% increase, significant to a economy based upon consumption. And if people aren't spending in New York, you know, how will those stores remain open? It says these vacancy issues, I thought they would end when the pandemic ended, but it has not. It continues to be a problem. They are creating havoc because there is homeless garbage and business next doors to that hurts these businesses. So yeah, New York, not what it used to be. Never will be again, probably. And then here, this doesn't help as well. African newcomers tell New York City Council they don't like the free food or shelter they've been given, and they demand better. So ultimately, you know, having all that free stuff still don't cut it. So I did a little short the other day saying how everybody, you know, 1,000 or so people congregated around City Hall, and this is why they're demanding more. They're demanding better. So mind you, they come from areas where they had nothing of the sort. You know, no unlimited food, no free housing, no nothing. And they get here because more than likely what they were promised was is not meeting those expectations. So they're very unhappy with their circumstances. And it's only a matter of time before disgruntled foreigners who have nothing to gain and nothing to lose in the land that they don't belong decide to up their ante and do more damage and do more possible stupidity in New York. And then eventually, once they realize that being in New York is the worst thing they could do because it's so expensive, they're going to leave, migrating further south or west to find cheaper lands and create havoc there as well. So, this is a problem, clearly. All right, and here's another little interesting story here. Burnett Plaza, the tallest building in Fort Worth, will enter foreclosure amid a default on the CMBS loan. So, yeah, the commercial real estate will only get worse, therefore putting strains on regional banks, which are holding this on their balance sheets. And wherever the banking sector goes, therefore depositors' funds will eventually follow, or lack thereof. So, look at Cat Williams. Anyway, keep it going. What else we got here? A couple more stories here. Then we're getting to some Q&A. Let me see what I got here. Did I bring any more? Nope, I didn't. All right, so there we have it, man. These are some stories that caught my attention. Definitely worth highlighting more of because the debt market is becoming problematic and only get worse because holding debt as a way of preserving and protecting and growing capital nowadays isn't the best method when our government is running such a large deficit and it's only going to increase because the system don't run unless more debt is created. Therefore, how does that impact you? It all boils down to the currency. The currency we hold on to for prolonged time periods will eventually continue to be debased, lose more purchasing power, and we will notice that the sticker prices on the shelves will continue to trend upwards. And the current CPI figures that they're giving us are completely fraudulent. But then again, it's going to become harder to hide those figures to where what they can only, you know, change the basket of goods they measure so much before people catch on. And with all this media coverage from the alternative media space highlighting how problematic things are, it's no way they can escape this. So therefore, don't get caught in the crossfire. Continue to redeem. In my personal opinion, redeem paper notes for physical silver and gold. The best way to protect and preserve. And if you want to speculate on top of that, then you get into more riskier things, such as the crypto space and other things of that nature, or strategically to basically shorten all these bubble assets out here that can help and protect and preserve your purchasing power down the line. So, all right, man, that's all I got for you this morning. What else is on your guys' mind? What are you guys keeping your eyes on? Let's get in a little Q&A real quick. Share some thoughts in the comment section there. Let me know what you keep an eye on. Bussman says, change your dollars for real assets. Yeah, that will become a common trend. And so, like, you know, the whole rethinking the dollar concept here was predicated on this particular time period. We're just in the beginning phases of basically helping people understand fiat from sound. And once you understand sound, it only becomes easier to redeem fake paper currency to get into something real and tangible. So Blood Pressure says, they taking loans and not paying back. I hope they bought silver with it. Yeah, people are strategizing all the way to the bank, man. And eventually, they're going to cut off credit lines because once again, once they catch on to the fact that people are deliberately taking out loans to not pay back, then why would you continue to issue credit? So I'd imagine, and I saw people talking about credit scores, how even certain institutions are not really lending to people who have high credit scores. So I don't know. I don't follow that model. That's not my strategy. You know, basically produce income as best you can, take that income, do what you got to do with it. And of course, anything left over, don't keep it in paper unless it's, you know what I'm saying, something you need access to right away. How do you get inflation on a banana? How do you get inflation on a banana? Let me see here. Poor quality. I saw a video, this is a side note, but I saw a video where a genetically modified banana was not a real banana. So they can sell those bananas cheaper because they're made in a lab. So a person was trying to break a banana and the thing literally was like a rubber sponge. It wouldn't break. So technically you get inflation through poor quality where they can keep the same sticker price, but then they'll substitute it with a fake version of a banana or something of that magnitude where, you know, don't look like a price increases, but the quality went down. Therefore the impacts on your health will go down. So that's one way. And then also supply chains. Eventually supply chains will be caught up in this crosshair of nations not accepting dollars for trade anymore. And they're going to demand, an alternative payment. And of course, Dr. Jim Willie talks about that a lot, how a lot of U.S. ports are not accepting treasuries anymore, aka dollars. So they're demanding something else. Therefore, there'll be a shortage of bananas, and whatever bananas are out there, what are you going to have to do? The demand goes up, supply goes down, increase the price of it. So those are just two ways I think it can happen. What we got here? China offering U.S. 5 billion ounces, U.S. comments for physical gold. China offering $58 an ounce above COMEX for physical gold. Rolf, that's some serious transaction there. What's a pound in kilograms, Rolf? Not sure. Do the math on that. Do the transfer on that one. On another note, here, let me share something as well. Let me share something real quick here. Let me see. So this is something that caught my attention as well. That plays into the decoupling of the paper and physical from over in China. So this was as of today from a gentleman I follow over on Twitter, but it says here, April 18th, the market data, Shanghai Exchange and Gold Futures Exchange, the silver vault of Silver Futures Exchange dropped again today and set a new low since COVID-19 pandemic. So looking at this graph here, just looking at the actual spot price of what's happening in China, gold silver futures is $24.29 and silver futures is $31.96. And here, we're at what, 28? That's $3 there. And then right here, 24.29. That could be that 58. Let me see here. What's the current price? What are we looking at? We're looking at gold right now. Let me see here. Gold in the 23.74. So 23.74 minus that 24. Somebody do the math on that. That could be that $58 or so that you're talking about, Rolf. So yeah, that is that arbitrage is taking place. So literally you drain from the west, send it to the east, you pocket that spread there, you do that continuously. It's going to put the Crimex and the Western vaults paper game on notice there. So that's a good way of taking advantage of arbitrage there. All right, what else we got here? 453 grams. All right, let me see here. What else we got here? What else we got here? Nothing else popping in the chat here. All right, man. As always, good morning. Good morning to everybody. Hope you guys are off to a good day. Make it great. Be great. Stay blessed up, prayed up, and get your weight up. Do everything you can. Enjoy life and just, you know, smile whenever you get a chance, man. Because as long as you're in the land of the living, you're still blessed, and God is able to do great things for and through you. So be that vehicle that God can use. All right, my good people. Be blessed, be safe. Back at it tomorrow, Lord willing. Other than that, catch you guys later. Peace.